Good morning. Welcome to the house of the Lord. How many of you have had a good week? Come on. Hey, you can claim it even if there was some adversity. You had a good week because you had the Lord. No matter what the circumstances of this week was, you didn't do it alone. And that is the most important thing. Would you stand up this morning as we go to the Lord in prayer? We're going to worship. Welcome those of you that are joining us online. You can stand up wherever you're at in your house today. And Lord, we just thank you. We thank you that today is the day that you have made. And no matter what we encounter in it, Lord, we will rejoice, for you are here with us. Lord, we will not fear. Lord, you do not give us a spirit of fear, but Lord, you give us a sound mind. You give us strength. You give us hope and grace and mercy. And so, Lord, we lift up our voices today. We lift up our hearts to you. Lord, we dedicate this service unto you. We ask, Lord, that you would be here amongst your people, and may we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship.
Shame, could not get past my blame until he called my name. I'm so glad he changed me. Darkness held me down, but Jesus pulled me out, and I'm no longer bound. I'm so glad he saved me. See, I'm now a new creation in Christ. The old
Jesus. Thank you, God, that I'm yours and you're mine. I praise you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. God, I praise you, Jesus.
pressed on each side, we will not lose sight of the one who's greater. One name holds every victory. One voice that silences the enemy. One King who reigns for all eternity. Jesus, Jesus. On the battlefield, your power is revealed. Giants fall. Join the song they're already singing. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Just to bow down before your throne. See your face, I'll cry out because you're. King of kings.
righteous is the Lamb. Jesus is the Lamb. Jesus is the Lamb. We'll sing his name. Jesus is the Lamb. Jesus is the Lamb. Jesus is the Lamb. Jesus is the Lamb.
Eternity is waiting to see your
to share this morning. I wasn't going to. I was trying not to because I don't want to cry. You know, Lily's been having seizures. She's been having breakthrough seizures on her medicine. And that's one of the things that I fasted for when we did the fast in January. That she would be able to come off of her seizure medicine because of all the complications that come when you take that medication. And I just, the Lord obviously, I mean, she's had seizures since we've been off the fast, so the Lord has not answered that prayer yet. But I still have to stand here and praise Him and tell the devil that we have victory in Jesus. And that there are miracles in the Word greater than what we can ever fathom. Greater than what we may see on this earth. There are miracles that our minds cannot fathom, cannot contain, cannot imagine. Because Jesus died on the cross so that we could have eternal life. And Jesus is the answer for every problem, every situation, everything that we go through. And this morning I have to stand here and I have to have faith and I have to believe that God has a miracle in the works. Even the things that we face on this earth, even all of the things that the enemy tries to throw at us. And I'll tell you what, just within a few weeks of ending that fast, the devil attacked us and Lily had a major seizure that she hadn't had in over a year and a half. It was almost like the enemy was saying, you can fast, you can pray, but it's not working, it's not working. But I have to stand here and say that it does work and Jesus has a plan and Jesus, whatever miracle you are standing for this morning, Jesus is in this place and He is answering you. He is answering your prayers and He is working on your behalf. Thank you, Jesus. God, I have to give you praise and glory and honor, God, for all that you've done, Lord. Jesus, no matter if we stand in a place that we don't have victory, we don't feel that we have victory, God, your word says that we have the victory because you are on the throne and you are reigning and ruling in our lives, Jesus. I praise you, God. There's a miracle in the works. I can feel it. There's revival.
God, I don't know how many of you saw on the news about the great revival happened at Asbury College in Kentucky. They started chapel on Wednesday, and last I knew it was still going. They never stopped because the Spirit of the Lord came down in a mighty way. Believing that for here, amen? Believing that for right here. If you need a miracle, if you need a healing right now, just step into the aisle real quickly. Just step into the aisle. We're going to believe for you and with you. Just step into the nearest aisle, okay? If you need a miracle, if you need a healing, you need the Lord to touch you in some way. I'm believing, God, today that He's going to touch some people, and some people are going to leave here changed and healed in Jesus' name. I'm one of them. I've got a lower back issue that I need the Lord's help with, and so as we pray together, I'm just going to pray that some of you would lay hands on my back and pray for me as well. So right now, wherever you're at, let's just believe God for healing. And it's as people are standing in the aisle, go to them. If you see someone standing near you, God just may use your prayer and your need to reach out and to touch that person right now. So, Father, as we stand together and we pray together for one another, right now we're praying and believing for healing, for miracles, for provision, Lord, just as the song that we've been singing declares. There's a miracle in the works. Lord, there's revival in the church in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we speak healing and help and strength and life and miracle working power to every single person that had the faith to step out into the aisle this morning, Lord. God, move by your Spirit. Holy Spirit, move across this sanctuary, across those watching over the internet. Lord, lay your almighty hand upon people and deliver them and heal them, Lord. And let us start hearing testimonies that you have done a marvelous, miraculous thing in their lives, Lord. We just believe that today. We receive it right now, God. Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Let your will be done here on earth as it is done in heaven today. We receive that right now. We receive that right now. Now just lift your hands to the Lord and tell him thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come on, let's let our voices be heard today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We praise you in advance, oh God. And we praise you for what you've done. We praise you and give you thanks today, God, for hearing and meeting needs right now. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You're the healer. You're the provider. Lord, you are the one who sustains and encourages, saves and heals and delivers. Kol rabba satara rabba kata. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's a miracle in the works. I don't know. I got to keep it going up there. Hallelujah. Oh, there's revival in the church. Yes, I believe. Let's offer up the Lord a sacrifice of praise, lifting your voice to the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord, we give you praise, oh God. Hallelujah. 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 And Father, we continue to lift up David Harrison and Brian Kane, both recovering from surgery. Thank you, Brian's here today. Lord, I pray that you just continue to touch these men. Touch my dad, Lord, who's had just weakness all week and not feeling well. Thank you that he's here, Lord. I pray that as he leaves this place today, even as we've just prayed for him, Lord, let him leave healed in Jesus' name. Lord, for Tony Keller and Ruby Bustle, both facing surgeries coming up. Lord, we pray over them right now. We pray over successful surgeries for Ruby and Tony. Father, we pray for Ron Porter this morning. We just know that there's a miracle for him. Lord, bring healing for the cancer treatment that he has, the cancer prognosis. Father God, I just pray that you just touch him right now. Continue to touch Debbie Rowland, Lord. Heal her of the cancer. We pray, God, just continue to work in her life. Lord, we pray for those families whose lives were affected in Turkey, nearly 35,000 casualties from the 7.5 earthquake. We pray over the country of Turkey. Thank you for all the efforts that have poured in to strengthen and to comfort and to bring relief, Lord. We pray, God, that you would just comfort those who've had loss and suffered loss. We pray for our nation today. We pray, Father God, that you would indeed bring revival in your church, which will produce an awakening in our country. God, we pray for the healing of our land. We humble ourselves and call upon you in behalf of our great United States. Lord Jesus, we just pray your will be done here today. Thank you, Lord. Indeed, Lord, let what happened in Asbury happen here and all around the country, Lord. Light the fires of revival all around this country once again, just like happened in the great awakenings of the past. Lord, do it again. Can we just say that? Lord, do it again. Again. Lord, do it again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Sing that chorus one more time. There's a miracle in the works. I can feel it. There's revival in the church. Oh, I believe it. Come on, sing it out one more time. There's a miracle. There's a miracle in the works. I can feel it. People said amen. Amen and amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Praise God.
Maybe that's why your church is so empty.
When God walks in here, brings me a hippie, I'll ask him what it's all about. Because I do not understand.
This house has a very good vibe. There is an entire generation searching.
Slow down, man, slow down.
Just in all the wrong places. If you want to reach my people, you need to speak to them in a language they understand.
If I bring them in, I'm going to lose my job.
We can only walk through doors open to us. In your church, that's a door that's shut.
You've probably noticed we have some guests here today. I'd like you to meet my new friends. Welcome.
They don't belong here. Half of them aren't even wearing shoes. They're staining the new shag carpet.
They need our help. If you feel like you're misunderstood and judged, you will find forgiveness and freedom right here.
That was awesome.
Now that door is open any time of day. And if there are some who don't like that, well then that door works both ways.
All right, Pastor, let's begin.
I was almost done with this, but then you did what nobody else would even dare.
This thing that we found, I feel like I belong.
You're gonna need a bigger church.
Martin, silently,
country is a dark and divided place. But now there's hope and it's spreading.
This is your home, and I want you to tell all your friends about it.
Looks good, doesn't it? It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. We have had a tremendous response. And so let me just encourage you that if you want to go in 2 weeks with us to see the Jesus Revolution movie, we're going to see it at the Bricktown Harkins Theater. We'll leave here about 2:45. The movie starts at 3:45. We decided to do an afternoon one. One, it's cheaper, $7 a ticket, so that's pretty awesome. But also, it helps us to get back where it's not too late for those who want to get in before it's dark. But we've had a tremendous response. So if you want a ticket to go see this movie, you need to come see me today, okay? Because actually, in all truth, Pastor, I got to go buy more tickets. So, yeah. So I have sold all 70. And actually, I already sold more than 70, Pastor. So I'm living by faith. So if you want a ticket, I will sell you a ticket today, and I will go buy so that we have, I just checked, Elliot and I were literally during the trailer checking, there's still lots of seats available, and I'm going to go purchase those, but it would be nice not to have to go multiple times. So we're going to buy a bunch more tickets, but if you want to go, you need to let me know by today, okay, and then I can't guarantee after that. If you buy it today, I can guarantee you'll have a seat. After that, it'll just be whatever I have left, okay? Sound good on that? So glad that everybody's here today. If this is your first time here, welcome. First time online, welcome. I'm waving at you. All right, hello. And those that are behind the camera, you don't even know this, but they're waving back for you. So they do that every week. But if you are a first-time visitor, would you grab, if we did not hand you a card on the way in, they're in the seat back in front of you. And if you would grab that and fill that out and place it in the offering bag, that would be awesome. That would give us a lot of help and just help us to know that you came to see us. And we want to just say thanks for being here. Tonight, there's something happening tonight. What is it tonight? Something. Oh, that's right. The Super Bowl. All right. Who wants the Chiefs to win? Mm-hmm. A lot of prayer needed right here. Mm-hmm. All right, go Broncos. We not good, but go Broncos. And then who wants the Eagles to win? There we go, my people. Not because I like the Eagles, I just don't like the Chiefs. So, and how many of you could care less about football? Really? Wow. I feel I've failed. I feel like I've failed. I have failed all of you people, all right? Let's say again, who could care less about football? Okay. Wow. That's why I'm happier than you people. Okay, no, I'm just teasing. I'm just teasing. Actually, you guys look less stressed than me most of the time. I actually could care less about the NFL, but I'm going to come tonight. We're going to provide pizza and drinks to churches. If you would, we didn't put an official sign up, but just know that if you come, would you bring a side dish? It could be chips and dip, or it could be whatever, or dessert, and we're going to have a great time together. And if you don't, apparently, I'm speaking to the majority of you, if you don't care about football, we'll have tables out here. We usually have the people who really care about the game set closer to the screen. And then there's lots of tables in the back where every year we have people who bring board games, you know, and they're playing dominoes and the card games and whatever else, and we're just fellowshipping, and that's fine. You don't have to, this isn't all about football. That's just one thing that's happening. Really, the most important thing that's happening is us just getting together, having fellowship. And I love it because these are the events where we're not the busyness of coming into service and leaving service, and I can't catch you. I can sit down and maybe get to know more about you, and you learn a little bit more about me, and we learn more about each other, and I think it's awesome. And so that'll start at 5:00 tonight. Game starts at 5:30 if you're interested. Other than that, just come hang out with us and let's have a great time together. And then next Sunday night, my wife Kelly is taking the ladies. They're going out to Chili's, and none of us guys are invited. And every time they do this, I always ask, so did you talk about us? And she always tells me the same thing. You know, it's not all about you, all right? It's not all about you. And I still don't believe her, but I'm sure there's some scheming or something. I always feel so nervous while she's gone. Really, it's more about that. I just want to make sure the kids are alive when she gets back. And so happy when I can hand them back to her. And somebody told me once that watching my kids wasn't babysitting because they're my kids. Is that true? Okay. Still didn't change the fact that I'm glad that I'm really happy when they're alive and she's back. Okay, so anyway, we would love for you to sign up, though, out in the foyer. Ladies, if you're going to go hang out at Chili's and all the details are out there, Kelly would just like to know that you're coming so that we're going to meet here. And unless you already live on that side, you want to meet at Chili's and go together. And it's always a great time of fellowship. And I guess y'all don't talk about us, but Lance, I think they do. So anyway, and then once again, the movie's happening just in 2 weeks. If you're going to get a ticket, I can only guarantee you if you buy it from me today. Other than that, if I have some left over, then you can buy those, all right? Thank you for those of you that gave a gift for the Garrett twins. The table looks awesome out there, and we love you. We love you. Oakland, Michelle, and Macklin Faye, we can't wait. I cannot wait. And so Tyler and Amy, we love you guys. And did you see that table out there? Come on now. Let's go. So thank you. Let's give a hand clap just for the twins coming. Yay. All right. I'm excited. Well, we'll ask the ushers to come as we receive the tithe and offering this morning. And how many of you, I'm just having a good day. It's been a good day. I've seen some people that I haven't seen in a little while. And man, that worship time was awesome, wasn't it? Man, how many of you are believing for a miracle? I'm believing with you, all right? I'm believing with you. Amen. Let's pray over the tithe and offering. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, what you're doing in your church, in the college in Kentucky, Lord, and the revival that's happening there. But Lord, we stand in faith and thank you for what you're doing here in our community, here at Noble Assembly of God. Lord, we pray that you would help us to continue to reach those around us. But Lord, would you reach us too? Lord, would you speak to us in a new and fresh way? And Lord, may you multiply what's given, and may it be used to accomplish everything you would have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you for your giving. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Mark. How many of y'all knew we would go to Mark? Imagine that. Thank you to the ladies, Michelle and Rindy. Kira, that helps set up our photo booth back here. Every time there's some kind of a holiday, they'll set that up for Mother's Day or Easter or Valentine's Day. So if you want to take pictures there with your family, you can do that. And we wish everyone a happy Valentine's Day on Tuesday. Mark chapter 3, we're going to begin reading at verse 28, which is where we stopped at verse 27 last week. So read with me Mark chapter 3, verse 28 through 30. I tell you the truth, all sin and blasphemy can be forgiven. But anyone who blasphemes the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. This is a sin with eternal consequences. He told them this because they were saying, he's possessed by an evil spirit. Father God, we pray your strength, your help, your anointing of the Holy Spirit to be upon the sermon time this morning. I pray, Father God, that you would anoint me to share this message, to preach this message, and that you would anoint everyone here and those watching online to receive the message in the way that they need to receive that in the way that you want them to. Lord, we just pray that you would work in all of our hearts to draw us all closer to you, to be students of your word, to understand your will, and to grow in faith in our relationship with you. And we ask all this in the name of Jesus. And everybody that's saved and on their way to heaven said, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Today's topic is the unpardonable sin. I don't know that I've ever preached a message just on this topic. I don't recall that I've ever done that. I'm sure I've mentioned it, but a specific message on the unpardonable sin, or what's called blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, I don't believe I've ever preached a message just on that subject. It's been interesting as we go through expositorily through a book like this. It's just whatever subject comes up, that's what you're preaching on. So it forces you to look at whatever the verses are saying at that time, and that's where we're at. So I think that's pretty neat. We get to cover a lot of ground, a lot of different subjects that Jesus taught on. So once again, the unpardonable sin. In the way of introduction, let me mention this. Down through the ages of church history, people have wondered and worried as to whether they possibly might have committed the unpardonable sin. I mean, this says there is eternal consequences. It's unpardonable. That is one sin that you can't ask forgiveness for. And so there have been people through, maybe they've had a lot of super bad experiences, maybe in the church or maybe in life. Maybe they've been grief-stricken. Maybe they've really been a notorious sinner and done all kinds of stuff. And they come and they read maybe these verses in the Bible where they've not been one that's read much of the Bible. And they think, man, I've done that. I've committed the unpardonable sin. I don't know if I can be forgiven. Well, let me tell you, I've got good news for you. If you are a person that's thinking that, I'll tell you this at the very outset of the message today. As the late Reverend James Bridges, former General Superintendent of the Assemblies of God, General Treasurer of the Assemblies of God, put it this way, the capacity to have concern regarding whether or not one has committed the unpardonable sin is a certain indicator that a person has not done so. And the well-known Bible theologian, Reverend R.C. Sproul, says it this way, worrying about it is one of the clearest evidences that you haven't committed it. Blasphemers of the Holy Spirit don't care whether they've committed it or not. If you're sitting here today and you're wondering if you've ever committed it and it's bothering you, that's a pretty good source of comfort that you've not done that, because the Holy Spirit is working on you. The unpardonable sin, in according to our text, is anyone who blasphemes the Holy Spirit, and that sin will never be forgiven. As we mentioned, it has eternal consequences. So I want us to take a look at what all this means. There's 3 points. Everybody say 3 points. 3 points to the message today if you're taking notes. Number one, remember the big picture. Remember the big picture. A few weeks ago, we mentioned this phrase when we were talking about complaining and being critical. We said, don't nitpick, remember the big pick. How many of you remember that? Well, likewise today, I'm telling you to remember the big pick. Remember the big picture. Now, what is the big picture? What is the big picture of this book? This is a Bible. It's kind of like in Brother Pilcher's message the other day. This is a Bible. This is a Bible. What is the big picture, the big theme, the overarching theme of this book? The overarching big picture, I've heard some of you say it, is that God loves people.
that Jesus saves. That's what it's all about. That God's love for man, the whole thing is a love letter written over a period of many years to tell us about God and his reaching down for man. I think you have to remember that when you're dealing with the subject of an unpardonable sin, the bigger picture, the bigger news is, verse 28, I tell you the truth, all sin, all kinds of sin and blasphemy can be forgiven. Look at the positive. And the verse that we all see and recognize as the theme verse of the Bible, I would say, in my opinion, is John what? 3:16. Say it with me in the King James Version. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is the theme of this book. That is the theme of God's heart. The theme of heaven is that God is not willing that any should perish, that all have everlasting life. And in fact, he says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed or perish, but he wants everyone to repent. He wants everyone to come to repentance. God's will is that people be saved. The big picture, again, Mark 3:28, I tell you the truth, all sin and blasphemy can be forgiven. Don't forget the overall big picture. That's very encouraging. That's good news. Lying, stealing, murder, adultery, coveting, dishonoring your parents, having other gods before him, making a graven image, all those Ten Commandments and more, divorce, abortion, homosexuality, lust, debauchery, drunkenness, gossip, pride, and on we could go, sin after sin after sin after sin. They're all forgivable. They're all forgivable. Even worrying, the Bible says, is a sin, and it's forgivable. Even people who blaspheme. What does blaspheme mean? To blaspheme means to speak irreverently about God or sacred things, to defame and revile. Two other gospels mention this unpardonable sin. It's mentioned in Matthew 12:31-32. Matthew says, so I tell you, every sin and blasphemy can be forgiven, except blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, which will never be forgiven. Anyone who speaks against the Son of Man, Jesus, can be forgiven. But anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven, either in this world or in the world to come. Luke 12:10 also, in this one verse, talks about it. It says, anyone who speaks against the Son of Man can be forgiven, but anyone who blasphemes the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. So both of these say that a person may indeed blaspheme Jesus, speak irreverently, revile the name of Jesus, and it's still forgivable, but not against the Holy Spirit. There have been people down through history who have blasphemed Christ, even some very well-known Christians at one time. If you look at 1 Timothy 1:12-14, Paul's writing to Timothy and he says this, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has given me strength to do his work. He considered me trustworthy and appointed me to serve him. Even though I used to blaspheme the name of Christ, in my insolence, I persecuted his people, but God had mercy on me because I did it in ignorance and unbelief.
Oh, how generous and gracious our Lord was. He filled me with faith and love that come from Christ Jesus. Yes, the Apostle Paul was one who used to blaspheme the name of the Lord, yet was forgiven. He even murdered God's people. He was a persecutor, but God's great mercy and his great love changed his heart and saved him, and he ended up writing 2/3 of the New Testament. God's heart is for people. He is not looking for ways to condemn, but he is looking for ways to save you, to transform you. And it all starts with calling upon the Lord. It all starts with believing on his promises, believing on him, not just in him. We've talked about that before. Remember the two thieves who were on the cross beside Jesus. They both ridiculed and mocked Jesus. According to Matthew 27:44, it says even the revolutionaries or the thieves who were crucified with him ridiculed him in the same way. They ridiculed the Lord. But Luke's gospel adds a wonderful part that proves that no one is beyond the grasp of God's saving hand. It's in Luke 23:39. He says, one of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed. So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it. But the other criminal protested, don't you fear God even when you have been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our sins, but this man hasn't done anything wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus replied, I assure you today you will be with me in paradise. I love that story. I love the grace and the mercy of the Lord. That thief, he didn't have time to do one good thing. He didn't have time to get baptized. He didn't have time to teach a Sunday school class. He didn't have time to read one verse of the Bible. He didn't have time to give an offering. He simply had time for a short prayer that said, Lord, remember me. And the Lord saved him. The big picture, again, the big picture, it's God's grace and love for man. Okay? God's love, God's mercy. Even in all three places in the Bible where the unpardonable sin is talked about, we looked at Mark 3:28-30. I read to you Matthew 12:31-32, and I read to you Luke 12:10. All three of those places, Jesus' words were a warning, not a conviction at a sentencing. I believe the Lord was warning those scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees when he said, hey, you can blaspheme Jesus and God, but you don't blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Guys, you better watch out. You're on thin ice. You better watch it, guys, because you're on awfully thin ice. If you keep persisting that way and you keep saying that Jesus has a demon, you're committing an unpardonable sin and you are risking being forgiven. Those places were warnings that that could happen. So even in that, we see the grace of God. We see the big picture in action. Even those religious leaders who ought to know better, Jesus was warning them, guys, listen, you don't want to commit the unpardonable sin by persisting that Jesus has a demon and attributing the work of Jesus to a demonic spirit and holding the Lord in contempt and hardening your hearts. You're on the wrong path, guys. You need to get turned around. And it's really, really interesting who it is that Jesus spoke the words of warning to. He didn't speak it to the out-and-out sinners that were at Matthew's house that they complained about. Jesus is hanging out with drunkards. He didn't say these words to the common people on the street and in the village and the people that he healed. Who did Jesus speak these words of warning to? The scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and that's why they were sad, you see. That's old. But he spoke it to the religious people, to the people that ought to know better. I think that's a warning to those who preach and teach. We need to be careful about what we say and how we say it. And it's not just for teachers and preachers. It's for all of us, a warning, but especially those who preach and teach. But Jesus even has a heart for them and warns them of having a hard heart. We don't want to have a hard heart. You need to do, by God's help and strength and by the Holy Spirit, everything in your power to keep a soft heart. You can't let your heart get hard. You may see things, you may experience things, even in the church and among Christian people. Sometimes Christian people do things they shouldn't do, okay? We're not a household of perfected saints. This is a household of people who have been saved, that are sinners saved by grace, and we still mess up. Don't watch man, watch God. Follow him. Okay, but just remember that to keep your heart soft, not hard, because a hard heart is headed for eternal destruction. And Jesus was warning these teachers and religious leaders, if they keep on talking and acting that way, and they keep on despising the work of the Spirit and calling it demonic, that they're in trouble. So remember the big picture. Once again, the big picture is Jesus saves. The Lord isn't looking for some way to keep you headed to hell. He's looking for some way to keep you from hell. He's looking for some way to get people to heaven. That's why he went to all the trouble to save us, to send Jesus to the cross, to be born to Virgin Mary and brought him up and do all the things that he's done and had all the prophets write for hundreds of years about what Jesus came and gave us the word of God and established the church and sent the Holy Spirit as all so that people could be saved. But point two is this: realize the big price. Big, big price. There is a huge, huge price for continuing on your whole life to reject the Holy Spirit's work in your life. You see, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is this: to be fully aware that you are acting and thinking against, everybody say against, to be fully aware that you are acting and thinking against the Spirit's desire to save you and to save others. I mean, you are working against it. You are calling what Jesus is doing something demonic. It's malicious. It's not accidental. It's malicious. It's on purpose. It's a very hardened heart where you seek to oppose the work of Jesus even when you see him doing good works in others. You oppose the work of God. You oppose the work of the Spirit. You attribute it to the devil. You have a hard heart. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is not simply saying or thinking a bad word about Jesus or the Holy Spirit. It's kind of like if you know, temptation is this. You know, if you see a sign that says, don't touch wet paint, what do people want to do? They want to touch it. Don't walk on this grass. What are you tempted to do? You never even thought about walking on the grass before. Maybe somebody's nice yard. Somebody's got a manicured yard. It's all green and fertilized and perfect. And there's a sign that says, please do not walk on the yard. Well, you probably wouldn't have walked on it, but now there's a sign saying not to. So inside of you, in your humanity, you have this thought. You have this desire. Well, I'm going to walk on the grass. See, what you didn't know was a law became a law, and that's kind of why the law was given, is to make you a lawbreaker, to make you a sinner. The law was given to convict you and to show you that you're a sinner, that you can't keep it, that you need a Savior. And so where I got off on that was, if somebody says, well, if you think a bad thought about the Holy Spirit, if all of a sudden you
say cuss words in your head against the Holy Spirit. Oh, you've committed it. And all of a sudden now everybody's, your mind goes there. You know? You know what I'm talking about? You're told not to do something, you do it. You're told this is what it is, and you start thinking, oh no, I've committed the unpardonable sin. No, that's not the unpardonable sin. But the unpardonable sin is spreading the claim that Jesus' ministry is of the devil and should not be respected, and keeping a hard heart your entire life. It's a deliberate and godless rejection of the saving power and grace of God. It comes down to that this person rejects the Spirit, rejects the Spirit's wooing their entire life, and they don't care about it. They don't care about the Lord. They don't care about the Holy Spirit. They don't care about the blood. They don't care about the church. They don't care about the cross. They don't care about anything and have to anything to do with it all. They reject it. They say it's of the devil. That person is guilty. And what it comes down to, they don't get saved, and they go to hell, and they seal their fate in the lake. We talked about the lake of fire last week. We read the scriptures in Revelation 20, verses 14 to 15, about those who do not have their names in the book of life. We talked about that they will spend eternity in the lake of fire with the devil and the false prophet and all that, and we don't want to go there. And so you cannot continue to reject Christ over and over and over again and actively oppose him. Or you're saved. If you it bothers you, once again, if it bothers you, oh man, I hope I didn't commit the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Oh no, you haven't. The person that is a blasphemer of the Holy Spirit doesn't give a rip if he did it or not. He's not even thinking about that. So let me remind you again, if you are concerned, you may have committed this sin. You most likely, 99.999% chance, have not. For the Spirit is working in you because you are concerned about it. So remember the big picture. The Lord saves people. He didn't come to nitpick your sin. Oh, I see you. I'm sending you to hell, buddy. That's not God. He is looking after you. Oh, come on. Let me help you here. Let me save you. Let me pull you out of your misery. Let me put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the whole purpose of this book. The whole purpose of the church is to get people saved. Yet he does say, if you continue to reject and go against Christ and go against the Spirit and you oppose it and you say it's of the devil, then yes, at some point, you're going to seal your fate. And it won't be in heaven. So remember the big pick, God's saving grace. Realize the big price of forever rejecting and ridiculing the work of the Holy Spirit. It's eternity without God. Eternity without God. Are you with me so far? Making sense? I tell you, I researched this all week long. I found all kinds of different opinions. I thought, man, there's all kinds of different ideas out there and opinions. And so I feel good in where we are at this morning, what we're saying. Number three, rejoice in the big promise. You say, what are you talking about? What's the big promise? Well, we didn't read it earlier, but I'm going to go ahead and read Mark chapter 3, verse 31 down through verse 35. So that's where we're going to stop at today, is verse 35. Then Jesus' mother, this is right after this happened about the blasphemy and all that, and this confrontation by the teachers of the religious law. Then Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him. They stood outside and sent word for him to come out and talk with them.
There was a crowd sitting around Jesus, and someone said, "Hey, your mother and your brothers are outside asking for you." Jesus replied, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" Then he looked at those around him and said, "Look, these are my brothers, mothers, and brothers. Anyone who does God's will is my mother and is my brother and sister and mother." That's the big promise. The big promise is when you confess your need of Christ, you believe on his words, and you give him your heart, you become a part of God's great big family. You become a part of the church. You are adopted into God's family. You receive a new nature. You have a new eternal destination, and the Lord is working in you and through you by the Holy Spirit. You become a part of the family of God. The Holy Spirit comes inside of you, and you will live forever and ever and ever in his family, in his home that he's prepared for you in heaven. The will of God is for you to be saved. Again, not willing that any should what? Perish. The will of God is for you to begin walking and talking with God and living for him. The will of God is for you to begin serving him in some capacity. To do his will, and not your own will. That's the will of God. To live for him, to walk with him, to work with him and for him, and let him use you. So, rejoice in the big promise. And you can do that if, it's a big word, isn't it? Two letters, but it's a big word, if. You can rejoice in that promise if you have asked the Lord into your heart to be your Savior. That's the most important thing today, is if you have made up your mind to obey the Spirit's wooing in your heart when he knocked, and you open the door and said, "Come in, Jesus, come into my life." And when he comes in, he forgives you of your sin. He washes it away. He begins to live inside of you, and you begin to live your life for him. And you begin to walk with him, and he begins to work in you. And the Bible says that he will bring it. God who began a good work in you will perform it, will complete it. So don't live your life, in conclusion, as the musicians come, don't live your life worrying about the possibility of committing the one sin. Hear me now. Just really pay attention to these last few statements here, okay? It's the crux of the message. Don't live your life worrying about the possibility of committing the one sin that's unpardonable. Instead, everybody say instead. Instead, live your life rejoicing over all the sins that you have committed that the Lord has forgiven you of. Realizing you have been pardoned. You have been set free. There's no punishment any longer. Your name is in the book. You're on your way to heaven. Live your life doing the do's of the Bible, and you won't have time to worry about the don'ts. Be a seeker and a climber for all God has done for you. Be a seeker and a climber. Notice I didn't say be a sitter and a complainer. If you look hard enough, you can always find something to complain about. It's not God's will. Be a seeker and a climber. for all that God has done for you. Read your Bible. Read God's love letter. Spend your time. Spend some time or bend time in prayer. Surround yourself with godly voices and influence and media and music. Find a place to serve. And you will never have to worry about blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Okay? Be in church, be in the Word, be in prayer. Live for God. Focus on what He tells us to do. Focus and be thankful for all that He's done for you, and don't worry about possibly did I commit some sin of blasphemy that's going to keep me from heaven. Once again, if you're worried about it, you haven't. But say, God, what can I do to live my life for you? What can I do, Father God, to serve you, to bring glory and honor to you? What would you have me to do, God? How would you have me to serve? How would you have me to live? Father God, I thank you today for your grace and your mercy. And I thank you, Lord, for every person here. And Lord, I just pray if there's someone here today that isn't sure about where they stand with you right now, in this moment, at this very precise time, Holy Spirit, speak to their heart. You are the one, Holy Spirit, who convinces us and convicts us of sin, who points us to Jesus, who goes after us to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So, Lord, if there's one here today in this sanctuary that is not right with you, I pray right now, God, that they would make a choice to get right with you. Lord Jesus, draw us all closer to you. Let us draw nigh unto you, and you will draw nigh unto us. Thank you, God. I just like to open these altars this morning and have an old-fashioned altar service and say, God, what can I do to serve you more effectively? How can I live more for you? Speak to me, Lord, about my heart condition. Speak to me about my serving situation. Speak to me about my relationships. Lord, whatever in my life needs fine-tuning, Lord, I call upon you to do it right now. Can we just do that today? Can we just find a place to pray and say, God, move in my heart. Move in my life, Lord Jesus. Would you come with me? And let's find a place to pray this morning.
Fall short.
Lord, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, God. Glory to your name, God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Just tell the Lord you love him right now. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord Jesus. I honor you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Let us stand together this morning. Can we just lift our hands to the Lord and tell him, Lord, I thank you. I love you, Lord. Oh, Lord, here am I. Send me, Lord, just as Isaiah said. Lord, here I am, God. Here I am, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Thank you, Jesus, for being my Savior, for being my healer, my provider, for guiding my steps. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Next week we'll begin with Mark chapter 4. And that, nope, that's not true. We have a missionary next Sunday, Brother Daniel Hazelrig. So, will be with us. So, Lord, we just thank you for this day. We pray, God, that you would just help us, Lord, to continue to follow after you with all of our heart. And we just pray your blessing upon us as we leave. Bless our coming and our going, Lord. Just move in our lives. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you this morning.